Welcome to the PrivCap Podcast.
Hi, I'm David Snow, CEO of PrivCap, and today we are joined by Alan Pardee of Mercury Capital Advisors and Chris Elvin of Preqin. Gentlemen, welcome to PrivCap today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, first topic. Why is it a buyer's market now for smaller, newer funds? According to Preqin, there are now more than 1,700 private equity funds in the market seeking capital, and a huge amount of these are smaller, newer funds. So Alan, what's your take on that?
It's an interesting market right now. The big mega funds have been getting a lot of the capital, and that's one of the features of our marketplace.
Which are on like fund 5, 6, 7.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And because of the fact that most limited partners are a little bit nervous about the state of the world, they're heading towards the established funds. And that established fund definition can be large, but it can also, luckily for the mid-sized guys, be mid-sized or small. Where the challenge really is right now are on the newer firms, the first-time funds, the spin-out groups. 2012 to 2014, those guys were very much in favor. Now that the market's a little more worried, they're heading more towards the established firms.
You look at the number of funds in market, which you mentioned is sort of over 1,700 now. What's interesting about that is the actual total aggregate target capital that they're all seeking is actually smaller than at the high point of, say, the end of last year. So there's an inference there that the smaller funds make up a larger proportion of the new entrants to the market.
Well, if you are an LP with an appetite for smaller emerging managers, which, by the way, if they do well, tend to outperform the market generally, you probably have an ability to negotiate very good terms for yourself. And so are you seeing any evidence of that in today's market, that sort of if you're a newer fund, you have to make concessions to your anchor LPs?
Oh, absolutely. Currently, I would say it's almost standard practice at this point that as a newer firm is coming into its first closing, that it is making some number of concessions to the investors who are joining them in that closing. The typical request is for a discount on management fee. Somebody coming in with 10, 20, 30% of the fund, if that is even happening, usually asks for some kind of discount. If it's 2%, maybe they're getting 1.5. If it's some other number, a sizable discount. The potential for a U.S. fund, to use a U.S. example, taking a European waterfall is also another outcome.
Chris, are you seeing anything interesting by way of terms and conditions in today's market?
We've recently sort of looked at fund terms and conditions for the pool of data that we have, and we've actually this year seen a movement within the hurdle rates of that level actually increasing. So I think there's been a trend in terms of GP and LP alignment, definitely, as Alan says, moving towards the LPs, and there's yet another indication this year from the data that we have that's suggesting a similar trend as well.
Preqin's data shows that, again, the funds that are closing are tending to close at or above their target, and that the only minority of the funds that are closing beneath the target, which would suggest that, again, those that are successful in spades.
Absolutely, and you know, I think this touches on the point we've discussed already. The distributions have happened. The LPs have a lot of liquidity at the moment, and it's a question of they're able to funnel that, but where and with whom is really the key decision that they're making.
Okay, next topic. There is more dry powder than ever. So according to Preqin data, since just the end of last year, the private equity market has added fully $73 billion in uninvested committed capital, sometimes known as dry powder. Chris, what does this indicate?
Essentially, I think it's, it sort of goes hand in hand with the growth of the industry. You know, there are more private equity held assets than there've ever been before. We're coming off the back of a sort of robust fundraising period as well. I think there's more interest in terms of when the pricing perhaps will decrease, allowing fund managers to put more of that capital to work. It's sort of a balance of scales, as it were.
Alan, a question for you about LPs. Are they focused on dry powder as a metric, or do they have other considerations that they think about first?
I think the LP is far more focused on their own budget, their own pacing study, the amount of capital that they have available to deploy into private equity, and what the opportunities are out there. Their first objective is to figure out, with the money that's in front of me, what am I supposed to do with it in the here and now?
So what would it take to start reducing this pile of cash, this dry powder?
If we start to see a drop in the pricing, entry-level pricing, then that in turn, I think, will facilitate them being able to deploy a lot more of this capital.
Clearly in Europe, we've just seen the repricing. Will we see a repricing in the United States? Time will tell. But we certainly feel like we're closer to a top than a bottom.
Alan, I'm glad you mentioned Europe, because it takes us to our next topic, which is it's tough sledding out there for private equity funds targeting deals in Europe. In the second quarter of 2016, funds targeting Europe raised half as much as funds targeting North America. And here's a fun fact. European funds raised $33 billion in the second quarter, But $10 billion of that was an Ardian secondaries fund. Chris, what in general is behind this sluggish fundraising pace for European funds?
North America has been the driver behind the fundraising in this particular quarter, and Europe has been slower. Asia and rest of the world as well, they've actually seen sort of more funds close, but less in terms of value. And I think ultimately it again comes down to this sort of volatility within the markets.
Alan, why are North American funds the bells of the ball in the global fundraising market?
The North American funds are doing well today because people believe in what's happening here in the U.S. and to a degree in Canada in terms of the growth that's still happening. We are the one economy at the moment that feels like it's healthy and doesn't have too extreme risks.
So important point is that European LPs remain active, but they're very active in flowing capital to U.S. or North American private equity funds, and less active in investing, you know, locally.
I would say they're still active even investing locally, but they have the same amount of cautionary look as it relates to what they're thinking about if you point towards the United Kingdom. What's clear is the voters in the UK have voted themselves both a recession and a potential dissolution of the nation. That's a lot of uncertainty to digest, and until something gets cleared up there, people will stand back for a bit.
We've recently done some surveys, both of fund managers and investors, to gauge their interest. And to be honest, there is a mixed bag of results. A very large proportion are simply unsure at this point what they are going to do until there is a more sort of definite outline of, will the UK have access to the single market? Won't they? When will the Article 50 vote actually be exercised?
Okay, let's now turn to a highlight from our recent interview with Professor Bruce Greenwald from Columbia Business School. When public markets rise, limited partners have a greater ability to invest in private equity. Professor Greenwald shares with us his in-depth analysis of where he believes the public markets are headed.
So Carl Icahn has said that what's going on right now is in effect a replication of what took place in 2007, 2008, and in fact, the market is about to go off a cliff.
The first thing is that the valuations are actually not as rich as they were in 2007.
That's based on PE?
Yeah. Second thing is that the craziness where nobody thought there was any risk. So that, for example, in 2007, you could buy credit default swaps on Dubai sovereign debt, the riskiest region in the world, dependent on the most unstable commodity in the world, which is oil, for 4 basis points, which is once in 2,500 years they're going to go completely under. So that craziness is not in the market. The real issue is the earnings power of these companies. And what you've seen is that as a share of total U.S. income, corporate profits, which pre-1990 were about 8.5%, are now around 13.5 to 14. So there's been this huge increase in profits. If that increase in profits is sustainable and it's likely to continue, then we may have a flat market for a while. We may not have the kind of increase in prices that we've had, but we're probably not going to see the kind of crash we saw in 2008, 2009. Now, I think that profits are going to stay where they are, and I think that's the important thing.
Well, that's it for our program. Thank you to Alan Pardee and Chris Elvin for your expertise, and thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.